something. It's missing you. Can I get a snap?
Your meat, your fruit, your eggs, your food, your You are listening to WMFO in Medford, and I am so happy to be here this morning. We've got a snow day. We're supposed to get between 12 and 18 inches, so stay safe out there, everybody, and keep on listening to Don't Make Me Dance with DJ JD Acker. That was Tank and the Bangas. They had Boxes and Squares. I'm going to play maybe one or two more tracks from them, and then I'm hoping we'll get another discussion on community in today. What else is news? So much. It's just been a wonderful semester and season so far here with WMFO. And as I'm closing out these last few weeks, it's been so rewarding to see the station come together. If you're in the local Medford or Somerville area, we finished finally those program brochures that I had advertised eventually. So if you go to Somerville Theater, Diesel, different establishments in the Medford area, you should start to be seeing those and seeing our full array of programming here at WMFO, which is super nice. So here is another track. Keep on listening, and we'll hope to get Shannon on in a bit.
Sun be burning, burning hot. You take your penny house, don't nobody know where you go. Just know the block just got hot. When you see a trick, gotta be slick, gotta be quick, gotta get bigger. Got to. Ain't no telling what I'm going to do tonight. Man, I strode up in a room full of
liquor and colors.
And then I grabbed somebody's groom that was
curious and flash.
And then I took him by the hand, I slipped
Ricky in his vodka.
Next thing that I know, man, he was reaching for his wallet.
I'm on the road.
I've been driving real fast with a tank full of gas, stolen cash.
On the radio.
It plays my song fast. In my past, my crash play smart, take it slow.
Sipping on that scissor, I was leaning and around.
Girl, my car steady's waving. Back that maze mix with them sirens, girl. I see him look. Man, that gas went out. Darn that blaze now. Should I get out? Girl, no. I gotta make a quick decision. My hand moved to that door. But I get a flashback of a recap of the night before.
Hi, don't you wanna ride? Don't you wanna fly? Don't you wanna pass out?
This is just like last week when
I showed up in the room. It was full of liquor and color. I was stumbling from my car. He must have noticed I was
flashed.
Then he followed me right in. He slipped the Mickey in my
pocket.
Then next thing that I know, man, I was leaning. He was driving, so I
gotta make a quick decision.
Gotta get out my feelings. See that money on the dance.
When I got a fence,
don't wanna go with fence. Girl, I don't wanna go to prison.
No,
so
prison.
I crank that car up. Ooh, it starts up now. I'm hitting 60.
Right.
Like,
Hope you're having a good time. You are still listening to WMFO in Medford, and that was still Tank and the Bangers. I am DJ JD Acker, and it's my final season here with WMFO, and I'm gonna play some Brazilian tracks this morning. But before that, I wanted to philosophize with all of you out there and just share some thoughts I've been having recently. I guess it's been a recurring theme for me in the past week to think about how I approach patience and activities, and I've been finding myself with some effort really drawing huge amounts of joy out of focusing on one activity at one time. And I know people say this and it sounds perhaps like one of those meditation or like clickbait articles that will tell you how to improve your life, but sitting and waiting and focusing has been surprisingly rewarding within itself, regardless of what I'm trying to focus on. So that's been very interesting. And I guess to connect that to anything, I'm hoping to really think about how we've designed our communities to have a lack of focus. And this kind of recurring theme, hopefully for the rest of the semester, is community. And I had Alex Golan, a fellow DJ on Headroom at 11 p.m. on Tuesdays here at WMFO, and student at Tufts, on the show 2 weeks ago talking about his experience in building community at Tufts. And I would say that that is definitely one experience, but I also have been reflecting on how my suburban experience on the outside of Chicago in Park Ridge was a weird mixture between not the suburb strip mall, lack of sidewalk, cookie cutter, you know, every house looks the same thing, but there definitely was a commerce built structure that was meant to segregate itself from the poor or socioeconomically disadvantaged in the inner cities, and to take those better schools and wealth and resources and take them out is still definitely a product of where I grew up. And looking at that white picket fence kind of experience has been interesting, because I guess I'll pose this. I think about what a family outing was for me growing up, and it was getting everyone in the car for usually one of two things, maybe a third being tangential, which would have been going out to eat, but holding that and putting that aside, those two things were going to church and going shopping, going to the mall. And my three sisters and two parents and I would trudge around. Usually at least two of the three would make it, and we'd walk around the mall, and at least one person would be miserable and or anxious or wanting to move on to the next thing, or you say the wrong thing about someone's outfit or shoe choice and it spoils the day, or someone's tired or unwilling. And that was some form of enforced bonding or enforced sense of activity or purpose outside oneself. And my grandmother still does the same thing. And I think it just shows how much more we have to do in terms of building community and architecture that supports community in the U.S., because she is and still is a mall walker. And to just think that instead of sitting on a park bench and looking out at the community and being able to be exposed in a purposeless way, in a way that doesn't directly tie you to a good or service that you're purchasing. She goes to the mall, or especially her favorite place is the grocery store. And I bet you every single shelf filer and butcher or deli person and cashier knows her name at this point. She probably goes every other day as an activity, as a habit that builds a sense of groundedness in her place. And it's so interesting because that place is a Jewel Osco, which is equivalent to a Stop and Shop here. Instead of something local or tied to produce that's supporting the local economy, it's, you know, these big box retailers, these big box grocers and store clerks that care and have no pride in the work they're doing beyond the minimum wage paycheck that these monster-sized companies have afforded them. So I've been reflecting on how you can support local government, local business, local goods and services as a way of inspiring that type of support for the community. And I would encourage you, if you're listening, to think about what you do that could make a small change in your spatial environment just based on an action. For example, the next time that you want to buy a coffee, instead of going to a Starbucks, support your local coffee shop. And they will be more receptive to making the coffee your way probably anyways, and taking that feedback seriously and taking pride in what they do. And that's a huge part of it, is who can afford these high rents. It's really only these big monster people, and you see the death of mall culture beginning all across the country because people want whatever authenticity is. That's what they want, and guess what, our actions and current shopping habits don't support that. So I'd encourage you all to think about that. I'm going to play a few tracks and we'll get back to it. It's 9:21 on March 14th, and I'm so happy to be here with you all. And let's see what we're going to play next. This is a track that was what closed out Mr. Gaga, and I was enjoying it, so I hope you do too.
Strong, my Lord, you know we ain't that strong. I hear my voice among others in the break of day. Hey, brothers, say, brothers, it's a long long, 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 long way. It's a long way. It's a long. It's a long, long, long. It's a long, 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 long. It's a long, long. It's a long, 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 long. It's a long. It's a long way. It's a long, long, long. It's a long way. It's a long, 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 long.
O zóio da cobra verde, hoje foi que a reparei. Se a reparasse há mais tempo, não amava quem amei. It's a long, it's a long way. It's a long, 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 long. It's a long way, it's a long way. It's a long, it's a long, long, long. It's a long, 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 long. It's a long, it's a long way. It's a long. Ah, renego de quem diz que o nosso amor se acabou. Ele agora está mais firme do que quando começou. Ah, renego de quem diz que o nosso amor se acabou. Ele agora está mais firme do que quando começou. It's a long road, it's a long, it's a long road, it's a long and winding road. It's a long and fica no lugar. It's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, hard, hard way. E se não tivesse o amor? E se não tivesse essa dor?
Strong, my Lord, you know we ain't that strong. I hear my voice among others in the break of day. Say, brothers, hey, brothers, it's a long, 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 long way. It's a long way.
That was It's a Long Way, off Tranza by Caetano Veloso. We have one more before Shannon calls in.
Descobriram a lua, quero ver descobrir. louco, mas se sou guerreiro, sou índio, sou perdigueiro.
Minha mãe me chama Comanche, minha mãe me chama Comanche.
Minha estrela do Oriente, eu sou Comanche, sou batuqueiro. Nasci e vivo contente comigo e com minha gente. Pois enquanto existe Deus no céu, o urubu não come folha. Enquanto existe Deus no céu, eu vou cantando gente boa.
Minha mãe me chama,
minha mãe me chama
Comanche,
Comanche.
Minha mãe me chama,
minha mãe me chama
Comanche,
Comanche.
Lá, 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 lá.
Sou guerreiro, sou brindo, sou perdigueiro.
Minha mãe me chama,
minha mãe me chama
Comanche,
Comanche.
Minha mãe me chama
Comanche,
Comanche.
Minha estrela do Oriente, sou Comanche, sou batuqueiro. Nasci e vivo contente comigo e com minha gente. Pois enquanto existe Deus no céu, o urubu não come folha. Enquanto existe Deus no céu, eu vou cantando gente boa.
Minha mãe me chama,
minha mãe me chama
Comanche, minha mãe me chama.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford, and I have a special guest on air with me. Please introduce yourself, Shannon.
I'm Shannon. I'm Jane.
Yeah.
Sold out, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful snowy winter blizzard out here. What's the weather like in Chicago-ish?
I don't think I've been outside yet, but I think it snowed. But how is it over there? It's like quite a bit.
Yeah.
More, right?
We're supposed to get, I think, 12 to 18 inches today for what that's worth. But Shannon is a great friend of mine. Shannon Streamack, everybody. Look her up. Google her. We grew up together dancing and playing volleyball, but she has been a huge part of my own personal exploration in music, and I consider the leading expert on all things good in this world. So I would love for you to share, I guess, first, what is your background in music, and what has your journey with music been like?
I guess, I grew up with two parents that were professional musicians, jazz musicians. My mom played jazz piano, my dad played jazz sax. So they made me play piano, sax, guitar, clarinet. And, you know, it's just been kind of interesting growing up in that kind of environment. It's just very laid back, but, you learn a lot when you learn one-on-one with professionals, I feel like, and music taste for sure. You just pick up what they know, pick up what their friends know, and yeah, it's kind of fun to learn from other people. So, but I know that you played, Jane.
Yeah, I did play piano for, 6 years, and then nada. But I'm going to get back into it. I'm going to get back into it, and I'm not just saying that. I have a teacher lined up already, you and someone else. what instrument are you closest to right now? What instrument do you feel like one instrument expresses what you want to musically the most?
I would say probably guitar, because that was the one instrument that I chose myself to play. The other ones were kind of chosen for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing the same ones my parents play. So, I just feel that it's easy to express, and versus like saxophone or whatever, you're able to like play chords. And I could do that on piano, but I think you could easily express kind of, it's like a little bit of both in a way, because I know like for piano, you could do like dynamics and whatever, but I feel that on guitar, it's one of those instruments you could easily like try to play like a horn player. Like that's the goal at the end for guitar, is to be able to play with that same kind of sound as a horn instrument. But I don't really feel like you could do that on piano.
Interesting.
So
I
feel like there's a lot of flexibility.
Have you been writing your own stuff to play recently?
I don't know, like writing as in...
I guess I remember way back in the day when you would be writing some poetry and trying to like put stuff to it.
Oh God. No. That was like, you know, like little high school me.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not a writer, like lyrical writer,
mm-hmm.
by any means. I mean, you know, like for playing, like you could improv.
Right.
I think I've just become more of, you know, free-form kind of player rather than writing down songs and defining them.
And how has that community been on Purdue's campus? I know are you still getting the music minor? And have you been playing with bands? Or how do you source or find the right types of individuals to collaborate with or jam with?
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to do it. Obviously, it's kind of hard when you have, like, your, like, major and stuff going on. But I have been able to find some people. It's kind of hard to find people of similar music taste. Not a lot of people like jazz.
Why do you think that is?
Not a lot of people. I'm not sure. It's a very good question. Like, I tend to have more of an obscure taste in comparison to others, at least at my school. But there's some overlap, a little bit of overlap. But I have jammed out with a few people, which has been nice. Even though it's not the same music taste, you try to find like common ground.
Yeah. Do you feel like I don't know. What do you look for in a jam partner? Are you looking for someone who's going to teach you new stuff? Or is it just someone that has a similar style that can, like, mesh with you well from the get-go?
I would say that I think that if you have similar tastes, you kind of grow together.
Mm.
Because if you don't even know what to play in the first place and you hear something, you don't really like it, you can't, even though if someone's, like, very skilled, it's really hard to kind of blend. You start fighting each other rather than, like, becoming one sound.
Mm. Do you think, I don't know, I guess, what have you been listening to recently? What has been inspiring you?
What I've been doing lately? I've been listening to a lot of funk lately. Funk, jazz. I'm not like funk, but, you know, jazz with a lot of funk elements.
Right.
And that's been kind of fun to listen to. Also a lot of world music.
Have you gotten into gamelan at all?
I don't know what that is.
In my
gamelan?
Yeah, it's like atonal. It's very interesting. It has... Yeah, I can't explain it, but my roommate Noah really likes to listen to gamelan while he studies, and it just sounds kind of like screaming chimes. I don't know. It's very interesting. But, Well, okay. Bringing this back. So do you think music brings people together now, or... What is the state of music and the community around music today?
You know, honestly, it disappoints me a little bit. Just a little bit. Because there's no real need for live music as much as there used to be. So just kind of the priority of it has you know, lowered a bit. So there's not as many people trying to become like a good live musician. And I can kind of feel it in a way.
How so?
Like the motivation or whatever, like people that I feel that would have gone to become professional musicians settle for other careers.
Maybe we're thinking about the same person. I know I'm thinking about Joe Azzaro. But like, I guess, is there, okay, here's an example. Even you could make it if you wanted to. You have the discipline, you have the skill, you have the support system around you, hypothetically, for it, because of your parents or family in general, and you're, you know, you having access to those resources. But you've chosen a career that's also tangential because, with electrical engineering, because you have, I feel like there's this fight. I went through it with dance and business or econ here, of I have a higher STEM brain capacity, and because we're women, I have this comparative advantage in this field, and I won't have to fight as it's the competition is much easier for us in these fields. Do you think about that ever?
It is true because, you know, they need like a certain percentage of women working anyways. I guess, you know, I didn't really think much about it because, you know, I decided early on I wasn't going to pursue it pretty early on. And it's actually because of my parents that I didn't pursue it.
Were they not happy?
They convinced me. No, they were happy. They did it for, you know, like 20 years or something. But after a point, it's like you can't make much of a living unless you have like consistently solid jobs, right, and it's like starting a family or whatever. So it's more like financial security in this kind of life that we currently have. Because if being a professional musician isn't highly valued, there's not going to be a lot of jobs.
Right. And I don't know. Do you think the people that do get noticed, is it weighted more heavily on one side or the other, or is it a complete 50-50 between luck and hard work, or is it who gets noticed today?
I think that appearance is a big factor. I mean, like, when you mean like, I think it's more like someone's image overall, and it's not necessarily the music. I feel like if it's like, you know, the music's kind of like so-so,
yeah,
and someone has like a good appearance or whatever, then they could kind of get by.
Can you think of an example?
I mean, like any pop or country artist, that's what it is. I mean, if you go back like 40 years or something, you know, not everybody was as airbrushed or whatever.
Right.
Like,
who was a pop artist of 40 years ago? I don't know. What would you consider that to be? Let's see, 40 years ago. It's 2017, so that makes it, what, the
80s? Well, 70s.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it's like, I mean, I really like Johnny Cash, but I don't feel like he'd be like as famous if he was, you know, like, you know, if he started out now.
Right. Right. And I don't know. It's interesting to think about how people like Johnny Cash had, I don't know, he was really timely in terms of like speaking to a social movement or a social undercurrent that was going on at the time. And now there's just not that pressure in pop and a lot of contemporary music, including country, that it's just this regurgitation of the same themes around love and drinking or whatever it may be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't thought about it. But I highly recommend to Shannon and to anyone who's listening that you check out this podcast called Hooked on Pop. And they dissect pop songs every week I listened to one analyzing Side to Side by Ariana Grande, and it's hilarious. It's really knowledgeable music people breaking down what makes these songs like an opiate almost, you know, what it's doing to your brain, giving you a formula that you can expect and breaking down like how they do that in the composition of the song with different tools. It's crazy. And you realize we're being spoon-fed feelings. We're being spoon-fed like this serotonin shot of, oh, wow, like these four chords. I don't know. Interesting. So let's see. I'm going to take a quick song break, but then we're going to get back to it. And I want to hear more about your experience with the engineering community at Purdue, your goals for post-grad, what you think of the world in general. We'll see where we get in these last 15 minutes. But I'm going to play a track.
All right.
That I guess, well, yeah. We were out in Michigan and our moms were bonding over a few glasses of wine together in the background and swaying with one another. And we pulled out a karaoke machine and sang this tune. But this is the Getz Gilberto version. So I'm going to play that and then we'll get back to more talk. And you're listening to WMFO in Medford. And I'm here with Shannon Srimak, electrical engineer, musician, friend extraordinaire.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes. So sadly, how can he tell her he loves her? Yes, he would give his heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at him.
Yeah. So we're back on air with Shannon Srimak. You just listened to The Girl from Ipanema by João Gilberto from his album Getz Gilberto, 1963, The Good Years of America, perhaps. No, I don't know. It's 9:48. We have about 10 minutes left this morning. It's snowing pretty heavily at this point, so I might just huddle up in a ball in here and not leave. But I wanted to know what if you could design an ideal arts or music community or venue beyond this techno club environment that you were describing at Purdue, what would it be like?
Like a place that people just go out to, just like a bar.
It doesn't have to be a bar. It could be a bar. It could be a room with a bunch of couches, or trampolines, or it could be a dance hall or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know. Live music would be nice. Just any kind of live music. Because I know, places at schools, it's just, a DJ.
What do you think the relationship for you has been between dance and music?
Dance and music? Well, I was never very good at dancing, but dance is a way to express. It's kind of like an instrument where you try to express your emotion, but through motion for dance, whereas it's through your instrument, and together it's like showing your interpretation of the music.
Yeah.
Or I guess without music, you're just trying to express your words.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think that's something that I miss the most is, we'll never get to experience the sort of thing where we go to a big band concert and they're vibing and changing what they're doing off of how we're dancing, and everybody is in this ebb and flow and like call and response, interpreting, because I'm sure the musicians have a set, but they're also responding to the dancers and like the energy of the room. But now it's like you get trance lights and glow in the dark, whatever, and that's, they're almost telling you how to feel. Yeah, I don't know. It's different. It's very different. It's less visible.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking a lot about how a lot of the spaces that exist for social activity are really dark, like poorly lit.
Yeah.
And I don't know why everyone wants to hide.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyways.
I don't really enjoy it, but.
So what are you looking forward to, in your life creatively this semester into the future? What are your artistic goals?
I think just continue with playing guitar. I try to play, I try to play classical on guitar and jazz, but more like solo bass things where you could play like melody and bass together and chords. So just something that sounds put together even though you're playing independently.
Yeah.
And that's about all that I have currently for my creative goals. I just try to do it in whatever time I have available.
Is it a daily habit for you?
A daily habit? If I don't have exams, yes.
Got you. And
I try to make it weekly, a few times a week.
What I'm really curious about on your part, too, is you have so much deep experience with a lot of different music theory and music and musical instruments. And I wonder, how easy is it for you to spot someone who's full of it? And how do you spot someone who is faking it? Or is it a part of the process to fake it until you make it?
I don't feel like anybody knows anything. I feel like you can never know too much. I mean, the people that you know that are like pros are the ones that have been, that are pros and have been doing it their whole lives. So they're like in their 50s or 60s.
Right.
But before that, everyone's just trying to learn because it is a language. You mm-hmm. can't be fluent in it if you've only been doing it for 6 years or seven. It takes a very long time before it becomes natural.
Yeah.
So I guess I see people our age, early 20s, I don't expect them at all to have that fluency.
Do you...
it takes a very long time.
Is there a corollary or is there a comparison to the fluency that you feel you're developing, or whatever you would call, I guess, I don't know if you would call it fluency, but in your understanding and maneuvering of engineering concepts, do you feel that same sort of like learning curve in different fields?
Like learning curve, like you mean just at all, like not knowing anything to try to learn something?
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, for engineering, at least, I didn't know anything about engineering. Didn't know what it was until college.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are some people that have been doing it since, like, high school. Like, they knew in high school that they were going to become engineers. So they, like, took classes to prepare themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah.
Has your...
Kind of went in blindly.
Has your gender played a role in any of that, do you think? Or have you just not thought about it?
I haven't thought about it too much. Honestly, nobody really talks about the fact that, like, I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm. How many females are in your program out of the total number?
I think that there's about, like, 9%.
Got you.
Are girls. So, like... If we have a class of 100 people, there'll be like, yeah, about 9-10 girls.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But I'm kind of used to it.
Do you think you have a different voice, both in electrical engineering and in music, because you're a woman, or not really?
A different voice.
Or something different to say? I don't know.
I don't really know, really. I've been trying to... I feel like I've learned to just get along with people,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. I mean, not letting my gender be a factor in things.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't heard somebody say, oh, she's smart for a girl, which I'm happy about. I haven't heard that before.
Right.
I think that... Now, at least people in my program, you know, they just kind of see you as a person, because I think we all become asexual once we start working, and we kind of, like, don't have time to think.
Yeah.
And some people don't have time to shower, but...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show this morning and for waking up. And hearing a little bit about your perspective has been so valuable. I'm going to close out with a track, and... Yeah, it's just been my pleasure. Thank you so much to Shannon Srimac, the engineer extraordinaire, going to change the world in music, engineering, being an amazing person. Hope to see her around, and we'll be in touch, and she's going to continue giving me music recommendations. I'm going to play this last track by Jo Henderson, inspired by her. So thank you, Shannon.
Oh, thanks.